Go to the exciting book of 2 Chronicles. The exciting book of 2 Chronicles, and go to the unbelievably exciting chapter 5. Anybody ever read the Chronicles and you're thinking, why did you have to name them all? Anybody ever thought that? It's like, man, has anybody read the Chronicles and rather than sound them out, you just made up sounds? Did you ever do that? Amen. I mean, all you have to do is an at the end of it, right? Elijah and Meshua and whatever, right? You just at the end of it. Well, it's interesting, but in my last time or in this time going through my Bible, I came across a passage early on in chapter 5, and it ended up being a huge and a real blessing to me. I want you to look in 2 Chronicles 5, and please look, if you would, in verse 1. And I'm in 2 Chronicles 5. That's because I'm not supposed to be there. Go to 1 Chronicles 5. It gets better at 1 Chronicles. Yeah, 1 Chronicles, that's the ones we love, right? 1 Chronicles. So 1 Chronicles chapter 5, and I want you to look in verse 1. It says, "Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel." Now there is a parenthetical that goes from that point all the way down to the end of verse 2. Listen to it. "For he was the firstborn Reuben. But for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel. And the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. For Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler. But the birthright was Joseph's." Then he goes on and says, "The sons, I say, of Reuben." And he begins to name off the genealogy. Now, that's an interesting thing. The writer comes to Reuben in the genealogies. And Reuben was the firstborn of Jacob by Leah. But something that Reuben did caused the birthright to be given unto Ephraim and Manasseh. You remember the story in Genesis chapter 35 that we're told that at some point Reuben went in to Bilhah, one of Jacob's concubines, one of the maids that were given to him by his wife, or one of his wives, and he laid with her, and thus it says, defiled the father's bed. Now, I want you to go over, if you would, because go to chapter 48 of Genesis real fast. 48 of Genesis, go there. And because he's blessing his sons, I've always thought that, I'm sorry, 49, forgive me, 49. Look in 49, and 49 of Genesis, and look, if you would, in verse, just speak in verse 1. "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch," he says to the brothers. This was the event that took place. It was not a small event, but because of this, the Bible tells us in 1 Chronicles that even though he was the firstborn, the birthright fell to Joseph's sons. Joseph being the firstborn of another wife, certainly not a firstborn in the lineage of all of his children, but Reuben was the firstborn of Leah, and Joseph was the firstborn of Rachel. And so he ends up taking the birthright. Now, why was that? Well, it says he forfeited it because he was unstable as water. Excuse me. He was unstable as water. Now, let me say this. I was talking to my oldest boy quite some time back, several years ago, as a matter of fact. And he had heard me preach on this that particular passage several times. And he said, "Dad," he said, "you know, it says that Reuben was the firstborn, was unstable as water." I said, "Right." He said, "I got to thinking about that." He said, "Water never has a shape of its own." I said, "Water always takes the shape of the container it's in." There's people like that. They always take the shape of the crowd they're in, the group they're in, right? What he said is, he said, "You know what? You've got all kinds of potential. I want you to know that when I look," I was talking to Brother Ray, and we were talking about the teens, not particularly individually, but as a group. And I got to tell you, I've always enjoyed teaching teens. If I had my choice, and I know, you know, I'm the pastor, I say I want to do that, but if I had my choice, I'd prefer to teach the teens. I just like them. I just like spending time with teens. If you have the teens, you're going to take them out on an activity, invite me. I'd love to go. I just like being with teens. They make me feel younger. I don't know. But I look at teens, and I think, what great potential. The sad thing is many of them will never know and realize what great potential they had until they get as old as we are and look back and realize the potential we squandered. Amen, amen. He was unstable. And I got to thinking about that. Joseph receives the birthright from dad. Joseph is the opposite of Reuben, as Jacob was the opposite of Esau. There was a birthright swapped in the case of Jacob and Esau also. You say, what do you mean they were opposite? Well, Esau was the oldest and Jacob was the one born after. But it's clear that Esau was a man of this world. Esau was a man of this life. He liked earthly things. Do you remember when Jacob came back? He had been gone for 20 plus years and he came back and he's going to meet Esau. He's scared to death because the last time he saw him, Esau was going to kill him. He doesn't know if his disposition has changed at all. And so he shows up and Esau's like a different person. Hey, brother, how you doing? He said, what's all this stuff you sent before me? He said, it's an offering to you. It's a gift and take it. And he said this. He said, I have enough. You know why? Because Esau was after what he could get. He didn't care for the birthright, but he wanted the blessing. He wanted the double portion of things. That's what he wanted. And when he got that, he was happy. No wonder God said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. They were opposites. Esau saw no value in the birthright. Therefore, he sold it for simply a bowl of chili, if you would. It was no more important than that. He sold the permanent on the altar of the temporary. They were opposites. In the same way, I look at Joseph and I look at Jacob or Reuben and I see them as opposites. If Joseph ends up being far more stable as an individual than Reuben ever thought about. And so I got to thinking about that. He said, whoa, whoa. He said, I know that Jacob's, this is 1 Chronicles 5. I know that he's the firstborn, but he defiled his father's bed. He said, so the birthright fell to Joseph. Now, technically, Joseph wasn't the secondborn even. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know what? There's some areas in Joseph's life, and I want especially every young person to listen to me tonight. There were some areas in Joseph's life where he showed his stability. There's four main areas that I'd like to look at tonight with you. Would you please? There's four areas I want to show them to you. First of all, could I say this? Joseph showed his stability in his obedience to his father. He showed his stability in his obedience to his father. His brothers were anything but obedient. Anything. Yeah. If this is seen nowhere else, it's seen in their selling Joseph and then lying about Jacob, to Jacob about what happened, and then hiding it for some 20 years. Do you think that's where they first became dishonest? Do you think that's the first time they acted like that? I think not. As a matter of fact, take your Bibles to Genesis 34 real fast. Genesis chapter, I think I've got it here. Genesis 34. No, I'll take that back. Genesis 34, go there. But in Genesis 34, you've got Dinah, their sister. And their sister has been defiled by a man that now wants to marry her. And Jacob is really kind of trying to keep peace with the people of the land. And the Bible, and you can read this yourself, but it's in 34. But Simeon and Levi, what they do is they go to these men. They're angry because how dare you treat our sister like that? Now understand this. Jacob gets upset when they do this because Jacob says, you've made me distinct. Jacob is the schemer. And he's trying to figure out, what's the end game? How's this going to affect me? They were upset, and he said this. He said, Simeon and Levi, they said, look, we can't give her to you because you're not circumcised. We are. Now, if all of your men would be circumcised, then after that, well, then we could give you daughters and take your daughters and intermarry. And they said, fine, we'll do that. And every man in that city, they were circumcised. And the Bible says the third day, about the time they were sore, Simeon and Levi come in and they kill every single one of them. And when they come back, you know what Jacob says? He said, you made me to stink. They didn't do that because they were obeying their father. They were, no, matter of fact, you know what he says later on in chapter 49 when he's giving those statements of the latter end to him? He said, in your self-will. That's what he said. In your self-will. I'm sorry, but I don't think those boys were very obedient to the father, but Joseph was. Joseph showed stability. Preacher, how could it be stability? You learn stability. Listen, Young person, you learn stability for life in the home, learning to be obedient to your parents. I remember a boy one time, when I came here, there was a young man, and he was getting tired of all the rules and all the regulations, I guess, that were laid down by mom and dad. That's how it works. Why can't I do this? Why can't I go there? Can I tell you something? Listen. Tell you what you try, folks. They won't let me do this, they won't let me do that. Then why don't you go out, get your apartment, pay for that, pay for the utilities, pay for your food, all that, and see how much fun you have with your independence. You know, it's pretty easy for you to say, well, I wish I could do this. Well, why don't you go do it then, man? Just go do it. Amen, amen. The fact is you've got it very well at home, and all you got to do is be obedient. And God wants you to be that way. Obedience at home. You know, it produces a stability. Young people in obedience to their parents is where they learn stability. Young people today, they want the height, they look for the height, if you would, of independence without laying the broad foundation of submission. You go ahead and build a tower narrow. Go ahead. You stay at home and you lay a broad foundation of obedience, a broad foundation of submission. Learn to take orders. That one kid that was here, he just got tired of it. He looked, this is literally how goofy people can be. You ever notice people can be goofy? Have you ever heard someone say something really, really goofy? I mean, beyond our politicians. I mean, other people, all right? I got to tell you, this guy, he looked, he said he's tired of all the rules. And so I asked him, he said, I'm going into the army. And I looked at him, I said, why are you going in the army? He said, I'm just sick and tired of everybody telling me what to do. I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. That was said in this church. And I'm saying, do you know what the army is? Man. Now, you know what the problem is? The problem is you know how to take orders. Listen, you know, it's like that, I couldn't wait till I got out of my home and I could get out from under mom and dad and do what I wanted. And then I got married and did what my wife wanted. And then we had kids and I did what the kids wanted. You never do what you want, amen? As a matter of fact, that's not what you're supposed to do. Your life is not supposed to be about you. It's supposed to be about somebody else. If we just realize stability isn't found in getting your way and having your way, stability. I remember a kid, it's a tragic story. It really is a tragic story. But the kid told it to me. He had gone to a Christian school. A Christian, supposed to be. He never said that he wasn't saved. But he was raised in a very liberal home that was very liberal and allowing him to do whatever he wanted. And, you know, whenever he wanted something, they gave it to him or they didn't restrain him. They didn't correct him. You know what that produces? Produces a very self-willed, self-centered individual. And it was after he had gotten out of school. And he told me about it. I mean, to my face, he told me. He said he got out of school, and I'd heard the story elsewhere. It was a tragic story. But he had taken a shotgun and put it to his mouth. And he pulled the trigger, but he jerked when he did. And rather than hitting going into his brain and killing him, it just took the side of his face off. I said, why'd you do it? He said, my girlfriend broke up with me. I can't think of anything that sounds more unstable than that. I've watched it before. You know what? I think kids ought to, you want kids to play with their toys. You want them to grow up. You want them to enjoy their childhood. You want them to enjoy their innocence. You want that. Let me tell you something. Giving them everything that they want is not a good thing. It does not produce stability. It produces instability. The kids that I've seen that can't handle anything weren't required to. Look, take your Bibles, go over if you would to Hebrews real fast. Go over to the book of Hebrews real fast. You know all getting no is? It's a chance for you to take it. Hebrews chapter 5, would you please? Hebrews chapter 5. And when I read this, I feel like I still need to repeat it and explain it, even though I've explained it 1,000 times to you. Not that you're not getting it, I know that, but perchance anybody else hears this or sees this, I want everybody to understand what's talking about. In chapter 7, speaking of Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he, what say it? Suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. That's Jesus Christ. You know what it says? It says he was made perfect by the things that he suffered. Now, the first thing someone says is, where did Jesus need to be made perfect? He was perfect. He was the sinless, perfect Son of God. I would agree with you. But you know this, but what God knew that he was going to do is, once he was crucified, buried, and rose again, and then walked amongst them 40 days with many infallible proofs, he was going to ascend to heaven and enter into an office. That office would be known as our high priest. Is that right? But we have a high priest who can be touched with the feeling of infirmities. Why? Because he was tempted in all points like as we are. You know what that was? You know what the perfecting was? It was the preparation for what God wanted to use Jesus Christ in the future for. You wouldn't have a good high priest if he hadn't gone through something. Now you listen to me and listen to me well, young people. Listen, the potential you've got is the potential to do something for God. Not only do you have the potential to do something for God, but God has something for you to do. I don't know what that is. That might be being a good church member and working and putting offering in for the ministry locally and the ministry worldwide. It might be that. It might be serving the capacity. Some of these men serve as far as sound room and the business office. It might be deacon or a Sunday school teacher. You could be operating the local church. That might be God's will for you. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about, where's my place in the local church? Or do you say, I go here because my mom and dad go here? At some point in time, every one of us have to take ownership of being part of this ministry. And you will never be what you should be in this ministry until you're stable. Thank God for the stable men and women that we have in this ministry that you can count on. They're there. They're at it. They stay there. They're in for the good. They're in for the bad, the up and the down. You say, why? Because they're stable. You're looking for stable people, not unstable. I don't know. We live in an unstable society. When you have men that are saying, I don't think I'm a man, I think I'm a girl, I can't. That must be the definition of instability. We're in state. Everything is ran by emotions. Now, I've got emotions and you got emotions, but you better not let them run your life. Well, follow your heart. That's a train wreck. The heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. No, no, no. You run your life by the precepts of the Word of God. And you realize that you're in boot camp already when you're at home. When you are under a father and you're under a mother, you're in boot camp of God's training. And all he says is this: it's not hard, it's not long, it's not big, it's easy. Obey your parents. But sometimes they won't let me do what I want to do. Thus the word obey. Do you realize that if everything they wanted you to do was what you wanted to do, there would be no obedience necessary? Obedience cries out, there's things they're going to tell me not to do. But some preacher, sometimes they tell me no, and I don't know why. Newsflash, sometimes God tells me no, and I don't know why. You're not going to be a very good Christian if you don't learn to take that when you're a kid. Amen, amen, and amen. Joseph was a great son. He was a great son. He was stable. Dad could count on him. Amen. Joseph showed his stability and his obedience to his father, his parents. Secondly, Joseph showed his stability in his independence from his brethren. That's an amazing thing about Joseph. He didn't run with the group. Yeah. You get the idea that he was kind of alone in the house. Matter of fact, what's it say? They hated him. I think that's what it says. It says, I think it's 20, 37. Is that where it's at? Yeah, look at 37. Look in chapter 37. Verse 4, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now, you know what that means? Could not speak peaceably unto him. We get bothered at a look. There at the table, he said, excuse me, Reuben, would you pass the potatoes? And Reuben says, shut up, jerk. He couldn't speak peaceably to him. They couldn't speak. They couldn't say a civil word. Why? They hated him. Would you agree that might be a lonely life? That might be a lonely home life? Yeah. I told my boys, and I've told young people in this church more than one time, and every young person, if you've never heard it, you listen. Until you learn to walk by yourself, you're probably not fit to walk with men. You better learn. Well, I got to have friends. Show me that in the Bible. The Bible never says have friends, it says be one. Matter of fact, one of the greatest things to be is a friend. One of the scariest things to be or to have a want for is friends. You say, why? Because when you want friends, you'll do what you have to do to have them. You'll act the way you want to act to have them. Everything is about how do I get them to like me? Joseph didn't have that problem. They hated him. And yet he was a stable individual. Amen. I've always thought about those prophets. Man, they're pretty stable, you know it? You take Elisha, those prophets come over and said, the place you dwell is too straight for us. He said, fine. Yeah. Have you ever thought about this? You ever thought about the idea that, and matter of fact, it's that way sometimes. Now listen, not here. You all love me. See, that had been a great spot for you to say amen right there. That really, you missed that one big, okay? That was an opportunity. It's gone now, all right? But I got to tell you, all you've got to do, there was a fellow one time, he was a Baptist preacher, but he also had a degree in sociology. I don't know how those things go together, but I remember making this statement. It was a funny statement. He said, when I fly on a plane, he said, and I sit next to someone, and they say, hi, what do you do for a living? He said, if I want to talk, I tell them I'm a sociologist. If I don't, I tell them I'm a Baptist preacher. That's all you got to do. Someone says, what do you do? I'm a preacher. Oh. Or they'll do this, I pastor a church. Oh, really? What church? Branch Hill Baptist. Yeah. Yeah. You can get, and listen, if you do right, Bible says, yea, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And sometimes, you know, all you got to do is, you're a preacher, I'm afraid, if I start doing right, how am I going to say goodbye to my friends? Many of them, you won't have to. They'll say goodbye to you. Now, the question is are you going to walk before him or do they mean more? Don't tell me. I grew up in this church. When I was about 16, I got my car. I started missing church because I got a job. I got a job at a department store where they were. I had an evening shift from 6 to 10, so I was gone on Wednesday nights. In Sundays, the place would open up at 10. That was their big sale day, and they didn't close until 6, and I missed all services. I was out. And you know what you do? You listen to what they listen to. And you know what you do? You talk the way they talk. And what you do? You go where they go. You say, why? Because you're unstable. Let me tell you something. There's not a kid in this room. Listen, I think I'm preaching to the kids tonight. Kids, listen. There's not a child in this room, not a young person in this room, that wants an unstable mom or dad. You want a dad that's going to be what he's supposed to be. You want a mom that's supposed to be, that's going to be what she's supposed to be. You want them to be true. You want them to be faithful. You want them to be what? I mean, in line, counted upon. I know what they are. I know how they are. And I can rest in that. Well, then why don't you give it to somebody else? Why don't you be that to somebody else? Amen. Joseph was a, okay, Reuben, you don't get the birthright. Why? Because you're unstable. I'll give it to Joseph. I'll give it to his boys. Why? Because there's nobody as stable as Joseph. He was stable in his independence. Notice how the, notice Reuben, watch this. Go to chapter 37 of Genesis. You there? Go to 37 of Genesis. Go over there. And remember how they're going to try. He comes out to visit them like for, at his father's bidding. And they say, see, this dreamer cometh. And they said, let us kill him, right? Watch what Reuben does. Watch the stand and see if you can't see in this a guy who doesn't want to take a stand that's going to damage his image before his brothers. Look, if you would, in verse 22, or about verse 21. They said, kill him. He says, and Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver them to his father again. It says they went on and stripped Joseph. They threw him in the pit, and then they sold him. When they sold him, look what it says in verse 29. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes, and he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? Look up here for a second. You know what he said? No, let's don't kill him. Let's throw him in this pit. Okay, big brother. Okay, oldest. Why don't you just look at him and say, no, guys, this isn't right. Because that's the kind of guy that Joseph was, not Reuben. Joseph said, I'll get him in the pit. We'll walk away. I'll get back around. I'll deliver him then. It was almost covert. You say, why? I don't think Reuben could take a stand, frankly. I think he was unstable as water. I'll guarantee what Joseph done. Guys, this isn't right. Well, they might have beat him. Joseph wouldn't cared. Remember over there where he said that he was out with some of his brothers and they came back and he gave an evil report to his father upon his brothers. Did you get that? Joseph came back and gave an evil report about his brothers to his father. Joseph was a narc. God loves narcs. Yeah, I like that one, huh? That's right. Joseph told on his brothers. Well, that's not right. Depends if they were right or not. I'm tired. When I used to teach up a school, that was it. Man, I would teach up there and they say, well, don't narc. I said, what they did, I'm wrong. No, that's the test of friendship. No, I got your back. Well, maybe you got their back where you don't need to have their back. Maybe they, I remember, I think I told you, years ago, I was teaching the teens downstairs and I was teaching on friendship. And I said, it's not about you having friends, just what I told you a little while ago. I said, it's not about having friends, it's about being one. And I said, if you're going to be a friend, it may require you to go up to a friend and say, listen, I know this is going on in your life, and if you don't tell your mom and dad, I will. Oh, but preacher, they won't be my friend anymore. It's not about them being your friend, it's about you being one. You know what the best friend you've got is? A friend that will do what you need, even if it ruins the friendship. Amen, amen. You see, friendship to us is, do they like me? And people don't like people that tell on you. But you know what the Bible says? It says in the law, so if you heard someone curse and you don't tell it, you're guilty too. You have an obligation, according to the Bible, to tell what you knew about someone if they did wrong. Not because I'm being a tattler, but it needs to get right. Wouldn't it have been great? Would it not have been great when Joshua went to fight Ai if someone had known what Achan had done? Wouldn't it have been great if someone had come and said, Joshua, don't go yet. I got to tell you this. Achan has disobeyed God. You'd have saved 36 lives that day. You see, we got this thing all wrong. We think that loyalty to the level of wrong. And you're not loyal to wrong. You're loyal to God and you're loyal to the book. And as long as I can be loyal to my brethren and being loyal to God and loyal to the book, I'm going to be a loyal friend. But if that loyal friendship requires me to step out of what is right, forget it. That's not being mean and rude. That's just trying to be right. You know what that is? That's stable. That's stable. I'll tell you another thing. Joseph, he was a stable individual. Much more stable. And I want to be a stable individual because when it push comes to shove, that's what you're looking for. You know, you have a young'un in the house and storm comes and lightning thunders. Now, I like lightning. I don't want it right next to me, you know, but I like lightning. All right, I loved it. I wish we had a big covered porch or something like that. I thought about building one time just to go out and sit and listen to it rain, listen to thunder, the crack of lightning and the boom and all that kind of stuff, you know, the flash and the boom. I like that stuff. Man, kids don't like that, man. They get scared. They get scared at night or the lights go out. Boom, lights go out. First thing you hear is, Daddy, Mommy. You know why? They're looking for stability. That's what they're looking for. I remember when 9/11 happened, my wife was working over at CCD. That was a scary day, was it not? One of our sons made their way over there, drove over there, went in, said, Mom, I'm scared. You know who he was going to? Stability. Hey, kids, if you like stability, don't you become stable for someone coming along after you? Why don't you become stable? Be a stable individual. Joseph was stable. When I came here years ago, I can't believe it's been as long as it has been, really. When I came here, I didn't know what I was doing. I thought I did, but I didn't. Half the time now, I'm not sure I know what I'm doing, to be honest with you. But I told you, I said this. I said, I don't plan on making this a stepping stone to something greater. If God wants me here until He comes, that's fine. If He moves me, that's fine. I find this, though. I remember when we came here, we sold our house, moved over to the parsonage over there. Whatever reason, people, I think they liked that. You say, why? It was kind of a statement saying, I'm sticking around. None said it more, though, a few years later when you came to expect Lindsay. Man, the church was just thrilled. You say, why? Well, they're building a family here. Stable. Stability isn't seen in good times. Stability is assumed in good times, but it's seen in bad times. 9/11 happened, but before 9/11, 1996, that was the first time that the Twin Towers were bombed. There was a car bomb down in the basement, if you remember, down in the parking area below. I think it was like a 30-foot hole deep, just blew the thing out. They showed pictures. The cameras went down and showed pictures of it. You know, I thought, man, what a stable building. What a stable building. To blow that size of a hole in a building that tall, it had to shake, but my goodness, it stayed. That's where stability is found. It's found when trouble comes. I'll get to that in just a second. Before that, let me give you the third one real fast. First one. He was obedient. His stability was seen in his obedience to the Father. Joseph's stability was seen in his independence from his brethren. And Joseph showed his stability in his honesty. I already told you in 37:2, he went and gave an evil report. Didn't make a difference what they said. He was a snitch. God loves snitches. Amen. Just say that. God loves snitches. I know it's hard to say. God loves snitches. We're just going to stay here until you say it. Say, God loves snitches. See, I know you want to get out bad enough. You'll say it then. Amen. You may not believe it, but you'll say it. Amen. You know, another place we find honesty, go to chapter 37 of Genesis, or to 39 of Genesis, would you? 39 of Genesis, please go there. It says in verse 3, and it says, and his master, that's Potiphar, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hands. All that he had, he put into his hands. Go over, if you would, in the same chapter. You know, his wife tries to make advances towards Joseph. Look what it says in verse 8. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Did you hear what he said? He said, he has no idea what he's got. I take care of it. He has committed everything to me. Can I tell you something? You don't do that to someone you don't trust. You do that to someone who has proven their stability in all matters and in all ways. Honesty is a stability. Honesty. I told you years ago, there was a family and they attended here. It was a young family. There was something that happened I don't exactly recall all that happened, but they just didn't. They kind of got upset and was bothered about it. And you know, when people get bothered, you can tell in their face, you can tell in their countenance, tell in their spirit. And eventually they just left the church. Just happened. But there was a family in the church that they stayed in contact with. That family started having some difficulties and problems, and They were talking to me, and I said, well, listen, I said, I don't know if there's a connection or not, but I would give you some advice. I said, that family, when they left, didn't have a very good spirit. I said, you might want to just kind of watch how much interaction you have. That's all I said. I didn't say, don't go around me. I just might want to watch some interaction. They went out and told that family I said that. You know what I'm learning? I'm learning just don't help people with advice. Because if it has anything negative to do with anybody else, the person, if it has negative, they'll know about it, and you're the one that gets bit in the seat of your pants. It's happened many times in the years I've been here. I didn't know about it, and I was sitting in the office. The office was where the business office is now, and they walked in and said, could we talk to you? I said, sure. And said, did you tell so-and-so that we probably shouldn't be around us, that we had a bad spirit? What would you say? And I looked at him and said, yeah, I did. And I said, I'm sorry you know that. I didn't mean anything bad by it. I didn't. I just being honest by it. Matter of fact, I didn't think they were necessarily bad people. But given that time, I mean, if the best person in this room gets a bad spirit, you're probably not a good person to be around. I lost two friends that day. They've had nothing to do with me ever since. But I walked out with my word. Something happened several years ago at my house. My boys were still home. All the family was still home. And I was questioned by one of the boys about something. And he said, Dad, you do that? And I said, no, I didn't. And he was bothered by it. He said, you didn't do that. I said, no, I didn't, son. And he looked at me and said this. He said you didn't, and I believe you because you've never lied to me. And I said, no, I haven't. You know what that is? That's stability. Stability. Joseph had that. You know what stability is? Stability is solid. You can count on stability. Stability doesn't move. The ground doesn't move back and forth. It doesn't sway. That's stability. You ever been on one of those? Do you ever remember what the rotor was? It was a carnival ride. It was round, and you got back there, and you put your back against the wall, and began to spin real fast, and then the floor dropped out, right? You know what stability is? It's the floor not dropping out. That's what it is. That's why I don't like planes. The plain floor feels stable, but I know underneath it there's 30,000 feet or 50,000 feet of nothing. That's what I, you know. I'm not kidding. I think, man, it's down there, and this thing's tons of metal up in the air. I understand how it works. I just don't trust it to work. You say, well, preacher, the safest way to fly statistically is planes. Yes, but if you crash in an airplane, statistically you have a higher chance of dying. Man. You walk on that thing. I remember the first time, God bless them, Lindsay and Preston, where's Preston? He's back there somewhere. Lindsay and Jake, before Lindsay married Preston, we all went over to Germany. They had never been on a flight. Theirs was baptism by fire, 12 hours on an international flight. And I could see Jake, and I think, boom, 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 like that. And see, what I do is I just watch the stewardess. And if the stewardess doesn't get scared, I guess I'm okay too. But if you get them scared, I'm in trouble at that point, right? They're up here all the time. But that bouncing around does unnerve me. You say, why? It's not stable to me. And you get off and you put your foot on that ground. Oh, it's not going anywhere. That's stability. That's stability. That's what I want to be to my kids. That's what I want to be to my wife. That's what I want to be to my grandkids. That's what I want to be to the people in the church I pastor. I want to be that to my family and my church family. I want to be stable. I could go on with honesty, but let me finish off with this. And I'll give you the fourth one. And this is the one that probably speaks the most to us. Joseph's stability was found and seen in adversity. 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 Yeah. I'm not going to spell it for you. Adversity, though, that's it, okay? Someone says, someone will ask me, say, how do you spell such and such? I say, I never do. Amen. It just keeps you having to spell things for people. Adversity. I already told you that's where stability is seen, is in the, when you can go through something, adversity, that's where it's seen. His adversity. It was seen in his adversity. He knew God was with him. Go to 41, chapter 41. Chapter 41. Look, if you would, in 51. Chapter 41, 51, please. He's over there in Egypt, and he gets a wife, and they have a child named Manasseh. And it says in 51, and Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, what's the next two words? Said he, hath made me to forget all my toil and all my father's house. You know, he never forgot in his adversity. He never forgot God. And that was where his stability was at. Amen. As long as God is with me, as long as I have his presence, as long as he hasn't forgot me, he never forgot God in his adversity. He never foolishly charged God, as God said Job had not. In his adversity, he understood the plan of God. Look in 42:9. Look at that. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them. That's interesting. He remembered the dreams. Those things that God said. He gave him those things. It's for a long time up ahead. Don't forget. You know, sometimes in the middle of adversity, we just tend to forget the plan of God in our life. That's unstable. Stability? Stability is realizing that God has a plan and God hadn't messed up and he hasn't missed. I'll tell you another thing that shows his stability and adversity. It's probably, practically speaking, humanly speaking, one of the greatest ones. Go to chapter 50, would you please, real fast? We're just about done. I want you to begin reading with me in verse 15. And Joseph, when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph and said, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants, the servants of God thy father. And Joseph wept when he spake unto him. You understand that Jacob never did tell him that. They're just making that up. They're making it up, trying to make sure they're scared to death that he's going to retaliate. Look what it says, if you would, in verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, though ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now listen to this. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. That's stable. Now, that's from a guy that lost 20 plus years with his father. From a guy that had to learn a language with a hard handoff, just get thrown into it, figure it out. A guy that every time that he'd raise up and things were looking good, something had happened. He got cast into prison. A guy that when he saw his brothers, he said, is your father alive? You say, why? I miss him. And he's looking at the very guys that said, you robbed me. You know what shows the stability in Joseph? He never allowed adversity to make him bitter. He never allowed adversity to make him bitter. He remembered God. He remembered the plan of God. And he refused to retaliate. Seems like Paul said something about that in Romans chapter 12. Render not evil for evil. Why, preacher? They did it to me. Yeah, but the reason is given in the last verse of chapter 12. And be not overcome with evil. And the moment you begin to retaliate is the moment that your heart begins to turn an ugly shade of bitter. One of the most unstable individuals in the world is an individual that has anger and malice within his heart. He can be nice one moment, but he'll explode the next moment. No wonder the Bible says, make no friends with an angry man. Yeah. Reuben's the firstborn. And I'll give you the name of his sons in just a second, but I have to tell you that even though he was the firstborn, he defiled his father's bed. Why? Because he was unstable. You know what that was? That instability? He couldn't deny himself. That's all it was. He just couldn't deny himself. And he defiled his father's bed, and his father heard of it. And so even though he's the firstborn, the birthright is not reckoned according to genealogy. Because there was a son that Jacob had, and as unstable as Reuben was, by the way, who was it, Numbers 16, that came up and withstood Moses? Korah? Seems like Reuben was in that mix too. Who was it that said, Moses, let us have our inheritance on this side of Jordan, for this is a land good for cattle, and thy servants have much cattle. Seems like one of those tribes was Reuben. You know what God's looking for? He's looking for stability. And stability might be pressed to the very limit. But the answer of stability is, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There is nobody in this world that was more stable than our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I set my face like a flint to Jerusalem. Don't you know what they're going to do to you there? Yeah. But I set my face, for it's this cause I came into the world. I came to do thy will, O God. And he fulfilled it. And he looks to his people, his children. And you're going to either be a Reuben Christian, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Or you're going to be a Joseph Christian, stability in adversity. Let's bow our heads, please.